Perspectives.
It is the Daily Perspective. Welcome in to this Wednesday edition of the podcast and the Facebook Live program. Good morning. Good to have you along. It is a... I'm having a weird computer day in the neighborhood. I'm just going to tell you right now. Life is adding some weird stuff to my little plate today. I love starting off when things are going wrong like this. Okay, well, let's just see if we can wade through it. I have the spinning ball of death on my screen, which means my ancient iMac that I use for just show stuff has decided it wants a nap, and it's upset that I want to work right now. Well, bless its heart. Let's see. There's a lot on the stack to talk about today, and hopefully we can get some of this done and not have huge problems with it. Oh man, and it's looking like I'm gonna have. Okay, here we go. There we go. Maybe if I click that. Okay, that went away. Wow. I just love it when websites cover your content with their ads. Hey, you want to subscribe to this? No. I've said no every time I've logged into you. No, I don't want to subscribe. I just come to you now and then for a story. Pardon me for ranting. It is the Wednesday edition of the program. Mark Congleton here, your sometimes humble host for this hour of observation, insight, and absurdity. And boy, am I going through the absurdity right now. Wow. Why? I maybe if you're a Mac user, maybe you can send me a note and tell me why this happens. But for some reason, it doesn't matter how many programs I have running or what. It just doesn't matter. If I open websites using links from a Pages word processor document, everything crawls to a halt from time to time. Now, my Mac, I'm going to be honest with you, it's maxed out. It has all the RAM you can cram into it. It's actually got speed doubled RAM in it, so it's doing, well, it's it has literally twice the amount of memory you can cram into it stock. It has a solid state hard drive. It is a quick little machine, a quick machine. After I've done my modifications to it, it's kind of like the Millennium Falcon. May not look like much, but it's got it where it counts. So it runs really fast, but it's just like right now, I'm hovering over the article I'm about to talk about, the story I'm going to talk about first. And if I move the mouse pointer over, ding, onto the word processor, there's the spinning ball of death. Well, nice. So just bear with me while I deal with this crazy problem here. We're going to go over here, force quit, kill that application. Yes, there we go. All right, now everything seems to be relatively happy. And I'll come back to that in the break, and I won't burden you with it. So how are you? It seems to be the second day I have opened up talking about issues and then realized, I'm whining. So, you doing okay? Hopefully you're doing well. Everything is going fine for you. Oh, man. It is a wacky morning in my neighborhood starting out with computer issues. Maybe it's time, I don't know, maybe it's time just to go buy a new computer. Oh, God, that hurts. That just hurts thinking about it because I know how much they cost. But I don't want to do that. What I want to do is I want to move forward and let's tackle the task at hand. Shall we? Okay, then. And the task at hand is to talk about things that have happened in the last day or so as they relate to you and me and life in general. And I shuffle this to the top of the stack today. Former Broward County Sheriff's Deputy Scott Peterson has been arrested and charged in connection with his failure to try to stop the massacre at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida last year. You remember that? On February 14th of last year, 14 students and 3 adults were murdered at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School, 16 others injured. While the attack was ongoing, Peterson, then a school resource officer, was on the campus. Rather than actually run to the aid of the people in danger, he chose to take cover. He also ordered other police officers to stay back away from the building. Peterson would later defend his actions, telling NBC News in June of 2018 that he was sorry about what happened, but that he'd been trying to do the best I could, quote, trying to do the best I could with no information or intel at the time, and it was just happening so fast, end quote. But later, evidence released, including audio from Peterson's police radio and a video that tracked the relative positions of both Peterson and the shooter, painted a different story. At a Stoneman Douglas High School Public Safety Commission meeting in September, Commission Chairman and Pinellas County Sheriff Bob Galtieri said that this proved Peterson not only made no effort to help, but also slowed the response of other law enforcement units. The Florida Department of Law Enforcement announced in a news release Tuesday that Peterson had been arrested and charged with 7 counts of neglect of a child, 3 counts of culpable negligence, and 1 count of perjury. All counts were related to the Parkland massacre. In a statement, the FDLE Commissioner Rick Swearingen said, the FDLE investigation shows former Deputy Peterson did absolutely nothing to mitigate the MSD shooting that killed 17 children, teachers, and staff, and injured 17 others. He added, there can be no excuse for his complete inaction, and no question that his inaction cost lives. The FDLE said that Peterson's case would be handled by Assistant State Attorney Tim Donnelly. Now, this case, the Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School shooting on Valentine's Day of 2018, stirred up a lot of anti-gun sentiment. It shocked Americans that someone could walk into a school with a weapon and begin killing people indiscriminately. And then we learned that there was a school resource officer on duty who not only did nothing to stop the shooter, but stopped others from stopping the shooter. And then police from another place showed up as backup and saw that the Broward County Sheriff's Department officers were doing nothing. And these police officers did something. They rushed toward the danger to do something about it when Broward County stood around doing nothing. Since then, we have learned many things about Broward County, their school system, their sheriff's department, and how progressives running everything there, the school system, the sheriff's department, the government, that progressives had adopted policies recommended by the Obama administration, which didn't deal with law-breaking students in the way they should have been dealt with. And that this shooter had been on the radar and had been the subject of many warnings. And because they didn't want that statistic to go against their record as a school district, they ignored the warnings. And then you add on top of that a sheriff's department, which has been basically trained not to respond when students are involved because that could harm the image of the school and their statistics for the number of children involved with the law enforcement, and the picture just gets uglier and uglier. This is what happens when progressives run things. Horrible things like this happen because progressives ignore reality. They ignore life. You and I, because we live our lives in the real world and are forced to face reality every day, we look at situations like this and scratch our heads and wonder, how can someone think this way? How can anyone look at a situation like this and say, well, instead of dealing harshly with these students and punishing them for their crimes, let's go light on them and make it look like everything is improving, because that's what they did, rather than actually dealing with the issues at hand. They change the rules of the game. So on paper, it looked like they were succeeding, when in truth, they just weren't doing anything about the problem, so the problem seemed to get smaller. This is not how the real world works. This is not how life operates. This is not how things are done if you want to solve problems. But this is how progressives approach problems. They deal with them using imaginary methods that they believe will work. And as a result, Broward County Sheriff's Deputy Scott Peterson stood outside of a school building where gunshots were being fired and children were dying, because he would not go through the doors, because his department was so crippled by progressive leadership that he could not make a quality decision to do the right thing. Is it the department's fault? Not really. It's his fault. He should have, said, to hell with the rules, I'm going to take this guy down and keep more people from dying. But he didn't. And now he is facing the consequences of his refusal to do what was right. Seven counts of neglect of a child, three counts of culpable negligence, and one count of perjury. He lied about what he did. And then we looked at the video and saw what he actually did and learned. He just stood outside while school children were being murdered. We live in a country where we're accustomed to seeing people in law enforcement, fire department personnel, and the like respond in a very different way. We live in a country where people not only in law enforcement and fire and rescue rise to occasions. When people are running away from danger, they turn and run towards it. They run towards the gunfire to prevent harm. They run towards burning and crumbling buildings and into them to save people. And this man didn't run towards the harm. He didn't run towards the danger. He cowered outside and made excuses and kept other people from running towards the danger to do the right thing. So yes, this man should be held accountable for his inaction and his lying about his inaction. He had a duty sworn to perform, and he didn't do it. Lives were in his hands. It's why he was there. An armed police officer, a sheriff's deputy, armed, walking the campus of a high school. Was he there to see the sights? To hobnob with the teachers? To pal around with the students and play basketball with the kids? No. He was there in case the unthinkable happened. He was there as the line of defense to protect the lives of those students. That's why he was there. There was no other reason for him being there. None. And yet, he was not doing what he was there to do. And because he didn't do what he was placed there to do. Lives were lost. Families were shocked and changed forever. And this country reeled under the horror of what happened within the walls of that school. There is no sentence too harsh for what this man has done. And I'm sure that there will be families lining the inside of his courtroom to make sure he gets what's coming to him.
What we're about to say will turn your world upside down.
I don't know if it's that profound, but we'll try. Thank you, and you're listening to The Daily Perspective. Welcome back. Mark Congleton here, hoping you're having a great Wednesday. It's the midweek edition of the program, and I think I've got the wheels back on the bus again, I think. Hang on, let me look. Yeah. Okay, looks like everything's working again. For now. Oh, I have to laugh. It's just ridiculous. Ah, gosh. You know, let's change gears here because that first segment, man, the massacre at Marjory Stoneman Douglas High School is just a horrible thing to even go back and think about. And we've had so many people since then screaming gun control when gun control isn't the issue. In that particular situation, the killer had mental issues. People had been raising red flags. Warnings had been issued, and everything was ignored. They just kept ignoring the issue. And as a result, the worst thing that could have happened happened. And then this guy, this jackwagon stands outside and doesn't do his job and allows more people to die. Could he have been shot? Yes, he could have been shot. That's his job. But I digress. Let's talk about another jackwagon. Democrat presidential frontrunner and former Vice President Joe Biden. Yesterday, he found himself once again in the middle of a controversy. He and his campaign faced accusations of several instances of plagiarism just hours after releasing his new proposal to combat climate change. This isn't his first dance with plagiarism. Go look it up. Biden rolled out a purportedly fresh environment plan on Tuesday while claiming that if he became a resident of the White House, he would go well beyond what former President Barack Obama achieved during his tenure. After the framework was released, however, eagle-eyed Americans found that the candidate's proposals weren't so fresh after all. Liberal activist Josh Nelson was the first to throw a flag. Business Insider reported pointing out that on Twitter that Biden's climate plan about carbon capture and sequestration includes language that's remarkably similar to items published previously by the Blue-Green Alliance and the Carbon Capture Coalition. Business Insider then picked up the baton and found another two lines in Biden's plan that were lifted from other authors' original work. For example, Biden's proposal claims the average American sewage pipe is 33 years old, with many pipes dating back 50 or even 100 years. Business Insider pointed out that clean water advocacy group American Rivers states on its website that, quote, the average American sewage pipe is 33 years old, with many pipes dating back 50 years or even 100 years. The exact same language in the former VP's script. The Biden campaign explained to Business Insider that, quote, several citations were inadvertently left out of the final version of the 22-page document. And as soon as we were made aware of it, we updated to include the proper citations. Well, there is some history here. During Biden's 1988 presidential bid, it was discovered that he copied a speech from a British politician and falsely claimed he was the first of his family to graduate from college. The former senator from Delaware also admitted to copying lines from a law journal while he was a student at Syracuse University. So plagiarism is not new to Joe Biden. We're dealing with a politician here, a leftist politician, a guy who has stolen the intellectual property of other people and claimed it was his own. So not only does this guy have problems touching people, not only does this guy have problems staying on script, this guy still has problems with the facts, with truth, which shouldn't be surprising because, after all, he is a leftist, liberal, progressive, Democrat politician. The truth is something that is meaningless to these people. It gets in the way of what they want. Now, let's go back a couple of more days and see what creepy Uncle Joe has been up to. On Saturday, speaking at an event hosted by the LGBTQ organization Human Rights Campaign, Uncle Joe attacked President Trump and his administration, blaming them for endangering transgender individuals. Biden barked, "We've already had five just this year, five black transgender women killed violently in 2019. That's outrageous. It must end. And the fastest way to end it is end the Trump administration." Wow. Well, as CNN reported, Biden ripped the policy the Pentagon instituted in March regarding transgender individuals. Now, you've probably seen and heard some heated things on social media and the like about this policy. CNN stated Biden argued that the Trump administration was at odds with the notion of America as a beacon of decency and stood on the wrong side of history. Biden called America an idea that we are about providing everybody who is here and accessed here with dignity and respect. Now, the Pentagon's policy does not ban transgender individuals from service who are already in the military. The Department of Defense states this, quote, "Service members who joined the military in their preferred gender or were diagnosed with gender dysphoria before the 2018 policy takes effect are exempt from the new policy and may serve in their preferred gender." It adds this, "Anyone who meets military standards without special accommodations can and should be able to serve. This includes transgender persons. Except for those who are exempt from the 2018 policy, all service members, regardless of their gender identity, must adhere to the standards associated with their biological sex. These sex-based standards, such as physical fitness and body fat standards, are based upon male and female physiology, not gender identity." Now, that may seem sane and realistic and reasonable to you, but we're not talking about you and me here. We're talking about people who believe that imaginary gender is just as valid as the real thing. Biden attacked Trump and Vice President Mike Pence, calling their supposed perspectives on LGBTQ issues wrong and immoral. He fulminated, "This president, this White House is literally, a bully pulpit is callously extending his power over the most vulnerable, implementing the most discriminatory policies like Muslim bans, turning away asylum seekers, putting children in cages, and the current vice president uses religious freedom as an excuse to license discrimination. It's wrong, and it is immoral what they're doing." Yet, it was the Trump administration that launched a campaign to decriminalize homosexuality around the world. NBC News actually reported this in February. U.S. Ambassador to Germany, Richard Grenell, the highest profile openly gay person in the Trump administration, is leading the effort, which kicks off Tuesday evening in Berlin. The U.S. Embassy is flying in LGBT activists from across Europe for a strategy dinner plan to push for decriminalization in places that still outlaw homosexuality, mostly concentrated in the Middle East, Africa, and the Caribbean. By the way, those are Muslim strongholds. As far as Biden's putting children in cages remark, akin to his remark in 2012 in Danville, Virginia, the last capital of the Confederacy, about GOP presidential candidate Mitt Romney and the GOP, where he snapped, "They're going to put you all back in chains," the Associated Press noted something interesting when fact-checking Stacey Abrams' claim in her response to President Trump's 2019 State of the Union address that the Trump administration, quote, chooses to cage children. The Associated Press. This is the Associated Press. This is not one of your trustworthy conservative information sources. This is the AP. They succinctly stated, quote, "The cages that Abrams mentions are actually chain-link fences, and the Obama administration used them too." When the AP can't deny reality, then we know that Joe Biden is living in la-la land. This is something we've known for some time. Creepy Uncle Joe is not well connected to reality. I've said this every time we've talked about Joe Biden, so let me just say it again. During the 8 years of the Obama administration, you didn't see an awful lot of Joe Biden. Because every time he spoke in public, he was the master of gaffes. He made mistakes. He said things that were not remotely true. He was an embarrassment. They kept him under wraps unless it was absolutely necessary for him to be in public. They didn't let him speak. And now we're seeing why. The man is disconnected from reality. And he is the front runner for the Democrats in the presidential race.
And while I'm on the subject of public nuisances...
What? Was that necessary? Welcome back to The Daily Perspective. Hi there. Good to have you along today. Mark Congleton here. Have you signed up for the newsletter yet? The Daily Perspective newsletter. It's the show notes from every day. I put together all the links for the articles that I refer to during these segments and send them direct to your inbox if you're a subscriber. So get subscribed today. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com. That's dailyperspectivepodcast.com. Yes, I know that's a lot of letters to type in, but do it, please. And you'll find the form for sign up on the right side of the page. Fill it out, answer yes to the confirmation email, and before long, you'll be getting your show notes delivered direct to your inbox so you can read the stories. And there are stories, as I say, every day. There are stories I will not get to. I'm looking at two right now that I'm pretty sure are not going to get in because of the constraints of time. So get signed up today. Go to dailyperspectivepodcast.com and become a newsletter subscriber. Housekeeping. Coming up on Friday, we will have a podcast. We will have a live show, but it may be we may have a little bit of a delay in getting the podcast posted, so it may come into your podcast program, your aggregator, for a little bit later in the day than normal, and the newsletter, not the newsletter, but the posts online, everything associated with it online, the newsletter and everything. Yeah, it does include the newsletter. Maybe a bit late because I have an appointment like half an hour after we get through, and I will get as much done as I can, but I can't guarantee that what will get done will include getting the podcast posted online because I have a little prep work to do beforehand, and that takes a little time, and I may not have time to get that done before I have to go bolting out of the studio to that appointment. So just be aware. So it'll be business as usual, like right now. But if you're a podcast listener rather than a Facebook Live listener, you may get the podcast a bit later than you were accustomed to getting it. I'm just giving you a heads up. That's happening Friday morning. Anyway, it's just something I had to get done. And they wanted it to happen early in the day. And to begin with, they wanted to do this at like 8 in the morning, which I said, nah, there's no way I can do that. It's going to have to be after 9 o'clock. What about 9:30? Okay, 9:30 is fine. We can make that work. So just be aware, that's Friday morning. Maybe a little slow on things Friday, okay? All right, now back to things here. Joe Biden's talking about the oppression and the Trump administration oppressing certain groups of people. And, of course, he's speaking to an LGBTQ group at the time, so he is pandering to that group. Well, one of the things that we have been drilled into our brains over the last several years is that there are classes of people in our society who are victims. Apparently, they're born victims, and they can't seem to overcome it. And that just kind of goes contrary to the grain of American life. And Matt Walsh, who writes some great stuff, he's got a blog, the Matt Walsh blog, and he's doing work for the Daily Wire people now, and he has some insightful observations about things, and this is one of those observations that he published yesterday. And this is what he had to say. As everyone knows, June is African American Music Appreciation Month. It's also National Safety Month and National Smile Month. And we can't forget that it is ALS Awareness Month, Alzheimer's and Brain Awareness Month, Cataract Awareness Month, Hernia Awareness Month, Myasthenia Gravis Awareness Month, National Aphasia Awareness Month, National Congenital Cytomegalovirus Awareness Month, National Scleroderma Awareness Month, and Scoliosis Awareness Month. But all of these holy observances must take a backseat to the most hallowed of them all, LGBT Pride Month. Indeed, we have heard nary a word about congenital cytomegalovirus, despite this being a month of awareness about that illness, because every company, corporation, celebrity, and television channel has been tripping over itself to exclusively celebrate LGBT pride, or more specifically, LGBTQQIAAP pride. That last part of the acronym must not be neglected, even as it rapidly grows, adding new letters by the day and threatening to take over the entire alphabet. Sure, Microsoft, Facebook, Apple, IBM, YouTube, AT&T, Disney, Chevron, H&M, Adidas, Nike, Reebok, the MLB, Listerine, Levi's, American Eagle, Calvin Klein, Express, Target, Michael Kors, etc. are all offering sacral gifts before the LGBT altar this month. But Budweiser, a company best known for its alcohol-flavored water, may have outwoked the competition. In a tweet thread, Budweiser unveiled a series of cups which commemorate not only the classic LGBT members, gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender, but also pay homage to some of the lesser-known characters. There is a cup for gender fluid. No, not a cup that contains gender fluid. A cup for non-binary, a cup for intersex individuals, a cup for pansexual individuals, and a cup for those who are asexual, demisexual, or gray sexual. Those last three deserve closer examination. Budweiser explains that asexuals are those who have no sexual attraction to anybody. This is a category that includes approximately 7 people on Earth. Demisexuals are those who are more likely to experience sexual attraction after they get to know someone. Another name for this group is women. There are about 3.5 billion of them. Gray sexuals are people who are sometimes sexually attracted and sometimes not. Another name for this group is literally everyone. And it includes literally everyone, except the 7 asexuals, I suppose. Apparently, there is not yet any label for those who are sexually attracted all the time to everything. Omnisexual? Full sexual? Perhaps there's no such thing as that type of person, but so what? There's no such thing as a gender fluid person, but that doesn't stop us from coming up with a label for them. A question comes to mind. if gay people are systemically oppressed in this country, if they are in fact a persecuted minority, then why are all of the most powerful companies on earth clawing out each other's eyes in a competition to be the most pro-gay? And even more confusingly, why are people so desperate to be included in this persecuted minority that they're coming up with ridiculous labels for even the most normal sexual appetites? And how are gay people able to march through the streets of every major city, sometimes with cross-dressing children at the head of the parade, announcing their sexuality to the whole world, even if the world didn't ask and doesn't care, if they're so oppressed? I've never seen oppression that works like this. Compare this situation to that faced by Black Americans before the Civil Rights era, or Jews in Nazi Germany. I do not think that the wealthiest and most powerful voices in either country were publicly sucking up to either group. I do not think that those who did not belong to either group in either country were clamoring to be included in it. LGBT folks will often appropriate the historical plight of both groups in an effort to paint themselves as victims, but the comparison does not do them any favors. The LGBT acronym expands because everyone wants into the club. People do not join clubs because they want to be persecuted. People join clubs because of the benefits that membership will grant them. What are the benefits of being LGBT? Well, you get your own Budweiser cup, for one thing. And you also get vociferous admiration from almost every corner of society. Whether this is a good or bad situation is up to each individual to decide. Just don't tell me that this is what persecution looks like. There's another P word that better describes it. Privilege. And that is from Matt Walsh. He's exactly right. The LGBTQ community in America, actually in much of the world, is very privileged. And yet, they claim daily to be oppressed. And quite frankly, the vast majority of that oppression is imagined. I mentioned the other day about the person that I told who was concerned about a Mississippi law about businesses being free to refuse service for religious reasons. This person said, well, now I won't be able to go into any diner in the state of Mississippi and order a burger. And my response was, well, if you don't walk in, slam your fist on the counter and shout at them, by God, I'm gay and I want a burger, your chances of being served are pretty high. Matt Walsh is absolutely right. There is a great deal of privilege in America when it comes to the LGBT community. And there is a great deal of imaginary oppression going on. And quite frankly, if we're just going to be honest, the vast majority of people really could not care any less about their sexual preferences. It's when you start making an issue of your sexual preferences that we get a little unnerved. We don't talk about our sexual preferences. We don't talk about who our partners are. We don't talk about any of that because we learned a long time ago it's just not proper. It's private. It's personal. We also learned that people who insist on talking about it aren't normal and are looking for a kind of attention that is best administered by medical professionals. And I think that's all I need to say about that.
I got things to do here.
Welcome back to the Daily Perspective. Good to have you along for the ride today. I'm just looking over technical situations. I started out the program with a technical issue, and as a result of that original technical issue. It blew the Facebook live feed up today. So I appreciate the fact that you are there on the podcast today. And my apologies to those of you who snagged this podcast because you missed the Facebook live edition today. Yeah, well, such is life in my little corner of the world. Like I said, problem I got to get solved. Okay, we were talking about Matt Walsh's article about privilege and the LGBTQ community and oppression. And I've got a couple of quick stories here. Hopefully I can dive through them before we have to wrap things up today. First up, another story about imagined oppression. CeCe Telfer, a transgender individual identifying as a female, who won the women's 400-meter hurdles at the NCAA Division II Outdoor Track and Field Championships last month, denies being a biological male is an advantage. In an interview published with OutSports, SB Nation's LGBT sports website, Telfer argued being a biological man is at times a disadvantage, specifically in the 100-meter hurdles. Quote, first of all, my height, how tall I am, is a disadvantage because the wind is hitting us so hard, and the taller you are, the harder you fall, basically, the senior, who is over 6 feet tall, said. As if wind resistance actually was an issue. Telfer initially competed as a male at Franklin Pierce University under the name Craig before joining the women's team this season. Although Telfer never won a national championship competing against men, the runner said the differences between the men's and women's competitions advantage biological women. He said the fact that the hurdles are so close, each hurdle, by the way, in the NCAA women's 100-meter event is about a half meter closer altogether, closer together than the men's track. Let me see, what would that make that? That would make it about 20 inches closer together. That's according to OutSports, although they're also 6 inches shorter. Telfer also said, and there are people who say I have the benefit of testosterone, but no, I have no benefit. I'm on hormone suppression. It doesn't help. It's another disadvantage. Cis women are producing more testosterone than the average trans female. While it's true women must lower their testosterone levels to compete against biological women, the notion that Telfer has no advantage is inaccurate. The NCAA's policy when it comes to male-to-female transgender athletes is vague. According to Let'sRun.com, such athletes must take one calendar year of testosterone suppression treatment before competing with biological women. However, no specific testosterone level is given for who is and is not allowed to compete. It's also worth noting, most of the time Telfer has spent training has been as a biological male with higher testosterone levels than women. According to LifeZet, biological men have 10 times the testosterone as the average women. Men on average also have significantly more muscle than women. The average man also has 26.4 pounds more muscle than the average woman. 40% more muscle in the upper body, 33% more in the lower body. As National Review pointed out in February, Florence Griffith Joyner holds the women's world's record in the 100-meter dash. That was 10.49 seconds. Even so, her time would not have qualified to run in the 2016 Summer Olympics as a man in the same event, which would she would need to score at 10.16 seconds or less. The standard's different. It's not Telfer's fault the NCAA has the policy it does, but the national title the runner now holds highlights this problem. So, Telfer is taller, more muscular, the hurdles are 6 inches lower, and closer together. But he doesn't have an advantage. I'm going to say he. DNA doesn't lie. And somehow, this athlete is being oppressed because he is now a transgender athlete and runs as a woman. More muscle mass and running against women with less muscle mass. Jumping over hurdles that are shorter. But there's no advantage. Oh, no! No advantage whatsoever. Listen, pal, you may come from a village of idiots, but the rest of us don't. You want to talk about real oppression? Let's talk about what's happening in China. Tuesday marked the 30-year anniversary of the bloody Tiananmen Square massacre, when the Chinese government slaughtered upwards of thousands of student protesters demanding democracy. In true Orwellian fashion, the Chinese government had effectively erased it from their history. And they arrested a CBS News crew for showing pictures of the massacre to young Chinese citizens. Meanwhile, outlets in the U.S. claim President Trump was the Orwellian one and a danger to press freedom. Standing in Tiananmen Square, CBS correspondent Elizabeth Palmer remarked that, quote, it's hard to imagine this vast square filled with passionate students demanding more freedoms. 30 years on, the Chinese government has erased every reminder of those events 30 years ago. Pictures like this are banned from television and school textbooks, she noted as the famous picture of the man staring down tanks flashed on the screen. She described how she spoke with young Chinese citizens she met on the street, and they couldn't identify anything about it. She was talking to a young woman who said, I'm really not clear about it. And she says, it's worked. We showed some of the photographs to young passersby. You ever heard of these events? First guy says, I think not. Second one says, no idea. Well, what country it's in? And another one says, I have no idea. Seeming to bring George Orwell's 1984 to life, Chinese police descended upon Palmer and her crew. Minutes later, the police showed up and we ended up in custody for 6 hours, she recalls. Meanwhile, on Monday morning, CNN legal analyst Jeffrey Toobin was busy claiming President Trump's spin regarding the spat with British royal Meghan Markle signaled we were living a 1984-like scenario. Last time we checked, Trump wasn't locking people up for talking about his nasty comment and sending them to be re-educated. Time magazine named journalists their person of the year back in 2018 because, according to them, the world is led in some ways by a U.S. president whose embrace of despots and attacks on the press has set a troubling tone. CNN's been so ludicrous with their hyperbole. Almost 2 years ago, CNN's major janitor, Brian Stelter, media janitor, Brian Stelter, suggested Trump was threatening the lives of his co-workers with a mean meme. Stelter had also used his reliable sources show to suggest the president was leading the world's dictators on a global press crackdown and formed a hate movement against the press like Stalin and Hitler. He didn't mention China. Now, unlike communist China, the U.S. doesn't have a state-run media. As much as CNN likes to claim that's what Fox News is. Trump using his First Amendment right to criticize the press doesn't constitute a threat or violence. What happened to CBS? Now that was a threat and violence. Our press needs to learn the difference. There is real oppression going on in the world. There is oppression of people in the LGBT segment of society all over the world. Governments don't tolerate it. There is oppression of the press in communist countries. By the way, socialism is the doormat, the welcome mat for communism. Just look at your history. These people who are embracing what they think is the answer for our society in socialism are ignoring the fact that in socialist regimes, the first people to be shot are usually the reporters who disagree. And in China, when reporters tell the people the truth, those reporters tend to disappear. So if you want to look at real oppression of the press, look no further than China. Actually, you can look a lot closer. Just look to our south in Venezuela and see what happens to people in the press who tell the truth. You can look at any socialist/communist regime and find out what real oppression of the press is. When our president is exercising his First Amendment right to criticize, it may make some people uncomfortable. but nobody's being put in a re-education camp because of it. They're just being exposed for what they are, and they don't like that. Bless their hearts. And that'll do it for today. My apologies for the technical issues and the problems. Hopefully we'll have everything solved tomorrow morning and things will be back to normal for the Thursday edition of the Daily Perspective Podcast. Have a great day. We'll see you tomorrow. God bless. Bye-bye.
Oh, we're done.